Hello there, and welcome back, ladies. Can we talk? And I want to thank our guests in the last segment. We had on Elisa Jordheim, a very courageous writer and author, and a great interview. And encourage you to look at our Facebook page, and that will link you to her Facebook page. And also encourage you to buy her book, which is on concerning. It's called "Made in the USA: The Sex Trafficking of America's Children." Tough subject, but important to know. We can't, you know, we on the right actually deal with facts and reality, and we deal with problems. We don't just ignore them. So my second hour is always fun. As I always say, this is the fastest 2 hours of my week. My second hour each week, we have on two of our leading ladies. There's two of my political buddies, and tonight I want to welcome Dorinda Randall and Lori Medina. Hey, girls.
Hello.
Hello.
And I think Dorinda's going to lead off. She's actually incredibly politically active, and she was at something this week for Fred Moses, and she was going to tell us something about that. I don't know what it was.
Well, one thing is Fred Moses, he got Man of the Year at the North Dallas, the Greater North Dallas Business and Professional Women's Club, and just a great organization that does a lot in the community. And he, again, was recognized. He gets recognition all the time for different things that he's done. He's gotten the Lifetime Achievement Award with the Collin College, and just so many things that I could say that I don't have at my ready right now. But the thing is I've been friends with him and Maisie for about 5 years, and I absolutely adore this couple. And the reason why I do is because he lives the life that we all should, you know. I don't know what you just said.
Well, people don't know who he is. He's an African.
I'm so sorry. He's African American, and he's in Plano, and he's just a pillar of the community there. And he just give. In all honesty, I was his campaign manager for whenever he ran for Collin County GOP chair, and of course he won. But but anyway, of course. There was things that he never told me anything about himself. I would find out things that he had done where he had given or he had given the shirt off his back to somebody else. And he just is an extremely giving person. And the thing that yesterday they had for their speaker, Dr. Patricia Maples, and one of the things that she said was, give not until you feel better, but until you feel discomfort, because you learn and you teach sacrifice. And the thing about Fred Moses is he and Maisie both, they don't know they teach people how to live their life, but they do, because all you do is just watch how faithful they are in their Christian journey and how much they believe in people. Sometimes I think they probably sing, I'm everything I am because you loved me. And then I think, well, maybe they sing that to me sometimes. And I, you know, because I want to be a better person because of knowing them and knowing how they walk their life. And I just absolutely adore them. And they never hit anybody over the head with their conservatism. They are just very loving in their ways. They give until it hurts. He drove the same car for 15 years. He has a successful business, and the man could drive anything that he possibly wanted. Macy is more real. She drives something nice, but, but he drove the same Buick, and he just is very real that way. But that's how conservatism is that if you really want to show people what republicanism or what, you know, conservatism can do for you, you've got to live it and lead a joyful life. Just like with Christianity, is that's how you should live life, by showing somebody the love of Christ within you. And then they want to come to you and say, well, what is it? What's that peace all about that you have within yourself? And then you can declare why. On the opposite side of the spectrum, I went to another event this week that I sat with a table of very liberal-minded people, and it was at a Dallas event that I went to, and they kept talking about how we must control children of obesity, and we must give them the food that they are to eat. We must dictate when they should eat, how they should eat, because they are... they're deprived of everything and they must be given this. And so, you know, some of my questions, because of my sarcasm and just wanting to enlighten them just a tad, I said, so are you saying that there is no middle class or upper class people that have that are obese? Is that what I'm hearing you say? And you could tell they would get perturbed with me, but it's just facts that you've got to give to a poor misguided liberal. And I actually do feel sorry for them, because they feel the weight of the world on them, because they must tell us what car to drive, what hospital we have to go to, what to eat, what to say, who to marry, who to love, all of the who to accept, who we are, because we don't maybe agree with their philosophy. There isn't this free will that we as Christians know is in the Bible, and we can be completely moronic at times, but the Bible is our guide to show us how to govern our life, you know, but he let us have free will and to make complete fools out of ourselves sometimes. And none of us are beyond doing silly things like that. But at least I have that to fall back on. I don't have myself to always. I know I'm going off on. But I mean, it was really sad to sit there and hear how they had these things to say about how we must do these things for people, because
who can't possibly think for themselves.
Yeah.
Who can't? You know, I was going to jump in and say one quick thing, and then I can tell Lori wants me to. You know, I do a lot of talks around the country for Ladies Can We Talk, and I talk about, you know, all sorts of issues about America. And I try to sometimes say, you know, instead of getting involved in every small issue in every campaign and candidate X versus candidate Y, the big picture about America is, in my view, and the way the distinctions between conservatism and the liberals is, the idea that in liberalism, it is about controlling everyone. It's about controlling the people. It is about government policy must dictate everything. Right. And conservatism, it's supposed to be Republicans embracing conservatism, it's about the idea of honoring the individual. It's about the idea of, you know, each of us have with God-given gifts and potential, and the country, the laws, the society, the economy exists to release each individual to pursue his dreams, make his mistakes, you know, do good things, do bad things, but find their own way. And there's just it's really whether the society is going to be government centric,
or
people centric, the freedom
yeah.
of the people centric. Yeah.
yeah.
And this, you hear liberals all the time talking about people who just, other people as though they cannot possibly function without government telling them how to tie their shoes.
Right. Well, yeah. and they believe they're arrogant enough to where they need to tell us that.
They do know better, actually.
They do know better.
Yeah.
Dorinda, I really love the contrast of those two stories that you just talked mm-hmm. about right now, because really you painted the picture of just, you know, I know Fred also, and he's a dear sweet friend of ours, and me and my husband, and you know, he's such a loving, kind, gracious, happy,
humble.
He just is such a pleasant temperament all the time,
always has
a smile on his face no matter what's going on. I mean, you know, he went through that rough and tumble, you know, Plano election, he always had a smile on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And compare that with the liberals that you were just talking about, mm-hmm. that, you know, they had frowns on their face.
Yeah.
The, you know, the world is in a, you know, such a dire situation, you know, they were wringing their hands because they had to control things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the contrast of Fred and
mm-hmm.
his happiness
mm-hmm.
and his joy and all the happiness he's spreading to so many people in his community versus these people that want to control and how upset and bitter they are.
Yeah. I mean, when you think that you're the one that has to fix everything,
it's exhausting.
It's exhausting. It's exhausting.
You know, on the subject of food, too, because you said these liberal women were talking about food. You know, one way that plays out policy-wise in America has to do with food in public schools, and
yeah.
in two different ways. One was just, I saw this story, and I meant to share this last week. I think I had it last week, and I didn't. But this mom sent her little girl. She's actually at a preschool, a four-year-old preschool, but it's a full-day thing. She goes with her lunch, and the girl got sent home from the preschool with a note from the school scolding, or food shaming, as the mother used the term, food shaming her for sending Oreos in her lunch. I mean, she had a sandwich and cheese sticks and healthy things, and she sent Oreos. It's very scolding. You know, we're here to tell you our community cares about nutrition, and you're telling this mom what she can feed her daughter. And that's a microcosm. The bigger, you know, thing of just how much the government controls, like under Michelle Obama's rule. No, she's not president. Okay, Michelle Obama's edict.
She thinks she's president.
And she might run. Okay, I'm going to tell you, I swear, I am worried she's going to run for president.
She's going to run.
I know. I know. But anyway, her food edicts, it doesn't matter if kids won't eat it. They don't like it. More food's being thrown away now.
Right.
She's issued the edicts from Washington. This must be a healthy school lunch. And you see pictures on the Facebook. It's just gross. Of course the kids won't eat it.
Well, what I love is the kids are not obeying all of this. They're not staying within the guidelines. That's what I love about America, is that if you do put us in a corner, we are going to find a way to find freedom. So have you seen all the videos of the kids in school that have written songs of how they're starving because they're not going to eat this stuff? And it's like, you know, I love whenever we are the innovative thinkers that we are, that we're not used to somebody telling us how to eat, what to eat, what time to eat. We just don't do well in those circumstances. We are a people that is free, and we are a strong, bold nation that we don't put up with that very well.
We need to say that, but you know what? We are actually up against a short break, and I'm in my second hour of Ladies Can We Talk, and our leading ladies on with me tonight are Drinda Randall, Lori Medina, and we're going to zip off to a break and come back and continue our second hour of, I used to say, for women who love to think, and then Lori said one week, no, we love to talk, but anyway, both those things. So come on back after the break.
If you've got questions, we've got answers. 660 AM. The Answer. Dennis Prager tries to explain the constantly shifting position on the left.
So now they say it's not white-black racism, it's blue-black racism. So it's really police become racist somehow when they don the uniform of the police. Or perhaps racists enter the police force in greater numbers than they enter other professions.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM. The Answer.
An exciting event is coming up in Dallas on May 27th. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, former congressman and president of the National Center for Policy Analysis, will speak at a luncheon hosted by the Preston West Republican Women. Tickets are only $40 and available at the PrestonWestRepublicanWomen.com. Just click on Alan's name or click on Contact PWRW to send an email. Join us. This is a great opportunity to hear from an American hero. Go to PrestonWestRepublicanWomen.com.
This plan is not insurance and does not meet minimum credible coverage requirements under the Affordable Care Act. This discount card program contains a 30-day cancellation and refund period. Administrator and benefits limited. Dallas, Texas, not available in all states.
I'm a mother. When my kids were growing up, I can't tell you how many times they had a cold, an ear, or sinus infection. I already knew it was the same thing one of the other kids had 3 months before. Could I get a doctor to call me at home? No, I had to take off work, or worse, bundle all the other kids and go to the doctor's office. Well, not anymore. RealMedSavings.com is like a discount club for healthcare. At RealMedSavings.com, you just call the 800 number and a board-certified doctor calls you back in about 15 minutes, talks to you about what it is, and then calls in a prescription if it's needed. You pay nothing for this doctor's call because you're a member of the club. RealMedSavings.com is not insurance, just real savings on everyday medical problems for your whole family. Go to RealMedSavings.com. Save money and time. RealMedSavings.com. It's worth going there.
In the early 60s, Dolores and Ray Butcher and their three daughters earned a trip to Disneyland by collecting S&H green stamps. It was a dream come true. Today, nearly everyone has a wallet or keychain full of loyalty reward cards that they use for discounts, gifts, and even free dinners at their favorite restaurants. For years, an international company has been offering a universal loyalty rewards card in Europe. We call it the Blue Card, one card to replace dozens. The Blue Card offers discounts up to 5% cash back. It even accumulates points to shop at participating merchants and an online mall. Today, they're looking for independent representatives to launch this card in the U.S. and Canada. It is free to get the card and free to become a representative. You could help launch the Blue Card in your area and get paid wherever it is used. Imagine you could be paid every time someone fills their gas tank, buys groceries, orders an airline ticket, or purchases just about anything.
To get your free Blue Card, go to BlueCardShopping.com. That's BlueCardShopping.com. BlueCardShopping.com.
Accurate Foundation Repair has been helping your friends and neighbors since 1999. Over 47% of our gross revenues are referral business. You want your home fixed right? Call Accurate Foundation Repair. We'll give you high-quality steel piers at a price you can afford with a warranty second to none. Call Accurate Foundation Repair at 972-623-2500. That's 972-623-2500 or on the web at AccurateFoundationRepair.com.
Accurate Foundation Repair. We give you a lift for the whole lot less.
Our sister station.
94.9 KLTY and Interstate Batteries present Celebrate Freedom 25, Saturday, June 27th at South Fork Ranch. Since this is our 25th anniversary of the largest outdoor Christian concert in America, we're bringing in the artists that you love. Stephen Curtis Chapman, Toby Mac, Third Day, Carrie Jobe, and many, many more. You've made so many memories over the years at Celebrate Freedom. This year, make some more with us. Sponsored by Cornerstone Staffing, Care Now, North Texas Chevy Dealers, and American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning.
660 AM, The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Welcome back, and this is a fun 2 hours on radio on 660 AM, The Answer. This is Ladies Can We Talk, and this is Debbie Georgiadis, your host. That's Ladies Can We Talk is the name of our show. Also, the book, Ladies Can We Talk, which I go around speaking the country, all around the country, talking about it. It's available on Amazon, and our show is on every week on Sunday, 6 to 8 p.m. And I was actually recently at an event where someone said she'd heard my show for the first time, and she was pulling up. She said, I kept wishing you'd say, tell us, is this 1 hour or 2 hours? Can I get out of the car or not? So, anyway, it's 2 hours, six till eight. And we're already in our second hour. So in this second hour with my leading ladies, I'm going to turn right over to Lori Medina, who's picked some subjects she wants to talk about this week.
Thanks, Debbie, for having me on tonight. I appreciate it. What I wanted to talk about was this latest Pew Research poll that came out. They put out a Religion in America poll where they polled all kinds of Americans and asked them what their religious involvement was, if they were religious, you know, what type of religion, and all kinds of questions, and putting them into different demographics. Well, the interesting that came out of it was that the poll came out saying that 71% of Americans of Americans are Christians, that consider themselves Christian. And so the big news out of this poll was the fact that that was a drop. It was a 7% drop from the last time this poll had been done. It had been done in 2007, 8 years ago. And at that point, it was 78%. So it's dropped to 71% now. So there was all kinds of reaction, you can imagine, from all over the press, people talking, wringing their hands and talking about the drop in the numbers of Christians in America. Our favorite liberals, New York Times, they practically had a little victory dance on their headline talking about it, talking about the drop in Christians in America. And so what I want to do is I want to just kind of go through some of these numbers and kind of, really kind of get beneath that top line number and explain to you guys what this poll really was and what it really represents, and then kind of talk about the implications of it. So there was a 7% drop in Christians. Now, the interesting thing was is the pickup in that number came from this category that Pew refers to as religious nuns. And that's not N-U-N-S. That's N-O-N-E-S. So N-O-N-E-S, religious nuns. And that they just referred to people like that, people that had no affiliation or didn't attach themselves to any type of religion. So, but that number had increased by 7%. So that was kind of the pickup of the loss on the Christian side. Now, the interesting thing of the 7% drop on the Christian side was that if you break that number down, the vast majority of that drop happened in the mainline Protestant churches and the Roman Catholic Church. That was where the major drop off happened. And actually, in evangelical churches, it actually grew. The raw numbers, they actually grew from 60 million to 62 million.
Wow.
Yeah, which is really, kind of contrary to what a lot of times we're being told.
That's so weird that they didn't mention that. That's so weird.
Yeah, so weird that New York Times didn't tell us that evangelical churches were growing. Now, another interesting thing is partly the reason why the evangelicals are growing and the mainline denominations, Protestant denominations, and Roman Catholics are losing is because, this may sound basic, but the Protestants are gaining more than they're losing. And one of the obvious areas is children. So Protestant families or evangelicals retain two-thirds of our children in churches. So two-thirds of all the children that we have, they stay in the church. They stay involved and they consider themselves Christian. In the mainline Protestant and Catholic churches, they retain less than half.
Wow.
So those children are not staying.
Wow.
So, you know, you can, so anyway, so New York Times, they came out and said, well, you know, Christians are dropping off. And their prescription was, you'll love this, their prescription was that churches need to stop preaching from the pulpit. There was too much politics from the pulpit.
Right.
And that was why all these people were leaving the Christian church, because there was too much politics in the pulpit. Now, a full disclosure, I'm a preacher's daughter. My dad is retired, although my dad's retired. But for most of my life, my dad's been a preacher. So I grew up in the church. I've probably told that story many times. But, you know, the interesting thing is where the drop off is on the Protestant and the Catholic side. That's the groups of people, if anything, are politicizing in the churches.
Are not politicizing.
No.
Are?
No, they are, because they are accepting gay clergy.
Oh, okay.
They're accepting gay marriage. They are talking and discussing and preaching social justice, right, from those pulpits.
Yeah.
So the politicizing that's going on is on the left.
Right.
And those are the churches that are dropping off in attendance,
mm-hmm,
and membership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can't help but think of the verse, you know, that where it says, you know, if you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. You know, God said, you know, Jesus said, do not be lukewarm, you know, be hot or cold, be something.
Right.
And I feel like churches today, the ones that are growing, the ones that are alive, the ones that are continuing, you know, having, you know, satellite churches here and there, whatever. Here in Texas, we got a lot of those. You know, those are the ones, the churches that are not lukewarm.
Right.
They are hot.
Right. Right.
Because they're preaching eternal truths.
Mm-hmm.
They're preaching the gospel,
mm-hmm,
of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They're not ashamed to do that. And they're not ashamed to talk about life. They're not ashamed to talk about traditional marriage. You know, they...
And then also they go to the fact of promiscuity is also very bad before, you know, and that's not something they want either. And so...
Absolutely.
They, you know, our church, we go to Watermark, mm-hmm, and they are unapologetic in the stances that they take. And that's what I like, is I like the courageousness of them. And their church is growing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I didn't remember to look up before I left, but there was actually a study a few years ago in England about some churches declining when the same point was being made. The churches who are strong and saying, here's what we believe in, here's what's right, here's what the scriptures teach, here's what God's word is, those churches were growing. People want... They want meaning. They want clarity. They want a sense of, to me, you know, a sense of you're being told a truth. You're not just being told everything
is peachy.
Well, all flows.
Yeah.
And let's face it, you know, if everything in the church becomes so watered down that, you know, it just becomes basically a social club or,
mm-hmm,
or a charity.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you attend?
Right.
You know. I mean, when we become a Christian, he requires all of us. He requires that. And the church requires us, too, to be involved, to be active, to fellowship, to be accountable. I mean, and so if the church stops requiring that of people, then it just becomes a bunch of nothing. And so people think, well,
it's a bunch of feel good. And it's, you know,
right.
God's love is everlasting. And the one thing that I love about Watermark in Prestonwood Baptist is another one that they take strong stance as well, in First Dallas Baptist as well, but they take strong, uncomfortable for,
mm-hmm,
them,
yep,
stances, but they do it in love, but they get painted a different way. But I think us as, you know, us Christians know that we are being painted unfairly. But the truth of the matter is, we need somebody to be strong and courageous and stand up to some of this crazy that's going on, you know.
And absolutely. And, you know, one of the funny, I thought for me, kind of funny, interesting statistics that came out of this was, believe it or not, there are more gays, lesbians, bisexuals that attend evangelical churches then consider themselves atheist or agnostic.
Was in the Pew study?
Yes, which tells me, again, that even if your lifestyle is contrary to what is preached, you are drawn to the truth.
Right.
Yeah. You are drawn, I think is fantastic. Anyway, and I want to, before we close out this segment, Debbie, I want to talk real quick about Rafael Cruz. If anybody out there has heard Rafael Cruz, father of Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, presidential candidate, if you ever heard him speak, or I encourage you to hear him speak specifically about churches, because he so boldly preaches about how Christians need to be active and mm-hmm. how really in the tradition of our American history, Christians have been active. If you look at the Christians in the Revolutionary War time, it was the Christians that really drove that entire era. If you look at the abolitionists, you know, pre-Civil War, they were Christians that drove that. And if you look back in the Old Testament, it was the prophets in the Old Testament. They weren't preaching, social justice on the corners. They were preaching justice to the kings.
Right.
That's who they were preaching to. They were preaching politically, the prophets in the Old Testament.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, anyway, I'm not doing it justice. Rafael Cruz gives such a fantastic talk about the need for Christians to be involved politically, to be involved in the issues, to vote, which is so important, which doesn't happen, and is so needed. And anyway, I just encourage you to look up one of his talks or something, or if you have a chance to hear him. He is amazing about this.
In the
this.
Study, did they say anything about the millennium?
Yes, and so the millennials were the big drop-off. Thank you. Mm-hmm. They were the big drop-off of the kids. The young people were the big drop-off in churches. That they were mm-hmm. the ones that, when they had the largest in that religious nuns, N-O-N-E-S group, they were, most of that group, over one-third of that group was millennials.
Yeah.
Most of them are not attending church or affiliate with a church.
Yeah, you know what? This is a great subject, and we have talked other times, we will again this show, about how the importance in America for pastors and churches to speak up on all the issues and not feel as though they're under threat of losing their 501c3 exemption, under threat of being accused of having hate speech. We really have a problem in America that, generally speaking, the churches on the left really speak politics, and many on the right are afraid to. And that's one other thing Rafael Cruz directly speaks to over and over, is just we need to challenge the idea the government could be shaping and controlling and monitoring speech from the pulpit because it has a political touches political issues. We went a little bit long, which is totally fine because it's a great subject, and we may pick it up again after our break, but we need to zip to our break here. This is Debbie Georgiadis, Andrina Randall, and Lori Medina on Ladies Can We Talk. We're going to come back after the break, and we're going to talk about a whole nother subject. Have half an hour left. Thank you for tuning in. Come on back after our break.
660 AM The Answer. 660 AM TheAnswer.com. Sean Hannity believes the Obamas know the legacy they'll leave.
I think the Obamas know the numbers that I know. I think they realize 93 million Americans are out of the labor force, a record.
They've added nearly 20 million Americans to welfare and food stamps.
I think they realize that in terms of foreign policy, this president's in way over his head. I think they understand they have accumulated as much debt as every president before them combined, and that is a bad legacy.
The Sean Hannity Show. Afternoons at 2, right before Michael Medved at 5 on 660 AM, The Answer.
We will all be hearing a lot about pay equity for women over the next couple of years. Turns out, when you put together two big studies recently done, one by the Fraser Institute, a Canadian free market think tank, and the other one, the United Nations Human Development Report, it turns out, for gender equality, you can't beat capitalism, free markets. Women in economically freer countries hold more elected seats in government, have longer life expectancies, achieve higher education levels, and earn higher incomes than do women in less economically free countries. And this is true whether the country is a rich country or a poor country. So the next time you hear a politician say, "I support pay equity for women," jump up and down and say, "Great, this means you're going to stay out of the economy. This means you will not mandate paid maternity leave, paid sick leave, and other government meddling in the free market economy." This is Debbie Georgiadis, and ladies, can we talk?
Hey, this is George at the Filling Station DFW. You know, I've been talking about the Filling Station quite a while now, and I want to tell you what I love about those Monday nights at the Filling Station. It's a special time when people come and sit at the feet of Jesus, and then allow him to do what he does naturally. That's save, heal, deliver, and redeem. Yeah, he still does those things today. It's because he can't help himself. It's who he is. Jesus is the same as he was yesterday. He's that same God today, and he's going to be that same Jesus this coming Monday night. So whether you're a believer, non-believer, just someone trying to figure out who Jesus really is, you should come this Monday evening. It was set aside especially for you. Come meet Jesus. He's waiting for you. The Filling Station DFW meets every Monday evening at 7 p.m. at Summit Life Church. We're in Addison, Texas. Our address is 14240 Midway Road between Beltline and Spring Valley. You can get more information at the Filling Station DFW. That's the Filling Station DFW. Look forward to seeing you there.
They say every healthy relationship should have a balance of predictability and spontaneity. In fact, it is that assurance of security that makes the spontaneous possible. Your relationship with your car should be a little like that too. With our industry-leading unlimited mileage warranty, your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz instills a sense of confidence. You drive away knowing that you can keep driving for up to 3 years and never have to worry about the miles. Add to that our complimentary prepaid maintenance on select models, and your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz becomes the ultimate carefree escape vehicle. Only during the Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Sales event going on now through June 1st can you receive your first 2 months' payments on us on select models, plus 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio. So hurry in today. It might just be the most predictable spur-of-the-moment decision you've ever made.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
With CudaSign, paperless e-signing is a no-brainer for any business that requires legally binding signatures fast. That's because CudaSign offers everything you should expect from an electronic signature solution for just $1 per month. CudaSign cuts document turnaround time as much as 90%, thanks in part to its number one rated mobile app. And CudaSign's secure cloud stores documents for on-demand tracking and retrieval, saving you even more time and money. Don't think twice. Get CudaSign now for just $1 per month. Go to CudaSign.com.
Hey, 3 hours a day is all I ask. Join me, Sean Hannity, from 2 to 5 each weekday, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey there, hello, and welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. I'm in my second hour of my leading lady buddies. I have Dorinda Randall and Lori Medina here, and we like to talk fast in this segment because we're always chiming in over telling stories, but which is good. But I actually want to talk about something I saw this week that many of you probably saw it, and I mentioned it in the very first segment about some headlines that when you actually read the story, it's not exactly what was said. And I did want to give, in fairness to President Obama, he was at a... he was at a panel.
Wait, you want to be fair to Obama?
I do, because someday.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, to be honest, I want to be honest. I don't want to be Stephanopoulos. But anyway.
Don't be a Stephanopoulopagus.
He's got a good Greek name like I do. But anyway, which is my husband's name. But what I was going to say was Georgetown University had a panel on poverty this past week. It was on May 12th. And that's my law school alma mater. And I love Georgetown. I love the law school, even though it's very liberal and so is the undergrad. But in any case, they had a panel on poverty. And among the interesting, and was kind of casting, you know, including people from all sides, because they did have on President Obama speaking about poverty. And they also had a man named Arthur Brooks, who is, I believe, the head of the American Enterprise Institute. And I've actually been on a panel with him before. He's just so brilliant and is a conservative and argues in favor of conservative solutions to America's problems, as we do in this show. But on this panel, they were talking about poverty in America and how you how you handle it. And so the one comment that many on the conservative side brought out that President Obama went after was this idea of urging Christian churches to focus more on poverty, and less on abortion and marriage.
So what he's really saying, it kind of segues well, Lori, after about your point last hour, last segment, was this idea that, you know, the churches should really care about poverty. And as though, number one, as though they don't. But number two, what he's saying is, don't go off on these issues. Now, Obama did try to say in the panel, I'm a Christian too, you know, and this is how I see it. And I'm not going to go there on his what his personal religious beliefs are. He is the most sympathetic to Islam of any president ever in American history. But, you know, he identifies as a Christian, speaks as a Christian, and he said churches should focus more on poverty. And, you know, it's a really interesting thing. I had a, I swear, a deep point to make about this, and that is this. When a leftist in America says, I want to focus on poverty, what he means is, or she means, is raise taxes, take a lot of money away from hardworking people, do wealth redistribution, send it to the federal government, increase. In fact, in this speech, President Obama on the panel, he was clapping for and praising the great society spending and how we have helped poverty by, you know, by all this spending. So what he means in terms of Christian churches helping or speaking of poverty is, you know, find more ways to give handouts, collect more money from hardworking people, give it to the poor people. And what I think, and I think really more consistent with the scriptures and the idea of what man is as God's child, I think the conservative view is the idea that each one of us has God-given gifts, potential, ability, and the role of any church, as well as the government, should be to create a society that inspires you to grow, to dream, to be self-sufficient, self-reliant, to find your passion, to find your talents.
Yes,
go out there and do that. This is the most compassionate thing. Not settle down in your squalor and inner-city poverty and live generation to generation to generation off of food stamps and all government handouts. And it is, and you know, the cynical part of me, I'm going to add, then I'm going to let you to chime in, but the cynical part of me also wants to point out that when people live in perpetual intergenerational poverty, and it comes, and they live off of government largesse, government you know, redistribution, those folks are going to vote Democrat. And this fact is not lost on President Obama.
Hashtag Baltimore.
Amen, sister. Well said.
Yeah, well said. She just said it.
You know, actually, Debbie, he said, this is the quote, I think it would be powerful for our faith-based organizations to speak out on this in a more forceful fashion, in this meaning poverty. Okay, so Obama is saying he wants churches, faith-based organizations, to speak out against poverty. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Obama. Let me tell you what churches are doing. They're not speaking out. They're doing something about it.
Right, right,
I mean,
right.
You know, churches are about action. Mm-hmm. We're about loving and caring for people. We help people. We go to where they are. We help our congregations, whether they can't pay their electricity bill.
Right.
And they're having a, you know, the dad's out of work for a few months.
Right.
I mean, or the community down the street, the folks can't, you know, afford something. We help people. We don't just talk about it.
Yeah.
Oh, but, you're on your high horse.
I am. And that's, I mean, soapbox.
That's what I love about conservatism is that, you know, I was a poor kid, and the thing is that whenever I saw people that were middle class or had money, I said, that's what I want to strive to be. And that to me, and I knew whenever I was 12 years old, I was going to have a better life. I was going to make a better life for myself than what I was given. And that's what you want whenever it comes to being poor, is that you want to help these people because that's more compassionate. It is Absolutely. Not compassionate to give them everything because they don't know the potential of empowerment they have within themselves if you're constantly giving them things.
You rob them of the of yes, their potential do. and their belief in themselves. There, in fact, I mentioned Arthur Brooks, who was on the same panel at Georgetown, and in one of his books, it's not The One Who Really Cares, another book I think it was, he's a prolific writer, he's written about this culture that happens long term when you live off of, he talks about learned helplessness, where you simply can't think of how to work. You can't even think of you could work. You're just, you've learned an identity of just helplessness, and you never get out of it. It's cruel. And the other end of the spectrum was earned success. The happiest people in life are not the wealthiest. They're the ones who've earned their success by hard work.
Right.
Well, and also, you know, Jesus did say the poor will always be amongst us. So it's, you know, even if we did exactly what Obama said, which I believe wouldn't even work anyway, even if we gave all of our money, redistribute all of our wealth to the poor, there would always be poor. Mm-hmm. There will always be poor. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus said it.
Well, and my family was poor. And it was funny because my family gave you everything that they possibly could. Even when they had nothing, they would give you the shirt off their back. I mean, you know, my mother did everything that she could to make sure that we had everything. And it was like we had nothing, but she bounced a check because she would say, well, okay, if I stretch my paycheck to here, but she would do that all the time thinking that she could never say no. And that's why, unfortunately for my family, we were always poor because we always gave everything. But, you know, it was whenever I got to be older and I hung out with people that did have money, did work for what they, you know, and they showed me that you don't give until you cripple yourself. You give when you can, you give what you can, but you do not give to cripple yourself, or you will not be a benefit to yourself and others. So,
you know, a whole related point, and we are, again, trying to be really good and give us enough time in our last segment, but another whole layer of issues surrounding what we're talking about tonight is this back to the America, the Constitution, and the rights of freedom of religion and freedom of speech and what the interrelationship is between government and religion. I found Obama's comments slightly offensive.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
Because what he's saying is, look, I'm an authority figure in this country. I'm the president. I'm going to tell you churches what you should be
right.
doing.
That's right.
I don't recall other presidents doing that,
right.
any of them.
Well,
talk about separation of church and state.
Right, exactly. And that's
Give
exactly
me a break.
The church that I used to go to, they did talk about social justice, and they I know that they where they got those talking points. I mean, it's right there with who he had in his cabinet that said that we're going to have the churches teach on this. And so where is the separation?
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm going to research after the show. We know we're up on our time here. We need to zip off to our break. But I do want to have maybe another time talk on this show about how there should not be any limits on what priests, pastors,
right.
men and women in the pulpit can speak about, because religion is not just relevant to your salvation individually alone. It touches every issue in life, and they all matter to a practicing Christian. So this is Debbie Georges, Lori Medina, Dorinda Randall. Come back after the break, and ladies, can we talk?
Fodder while arguing with your liberal friends? We've got you covered. 660 AM, The Answer.
Hi, Debbie Georgiatis here with a Liberty Minute on the subject of income inequality. Nobody wants the poor to remain poor. America's founding belief in the power of liberty is that the poor need not remain poor if they are given equal opportunity and the liberty to apply hard work and their God-given talents to improve themselves. And there are countless examples of Americans who've done exactly that, including my own family. But when the power of individual liberty is discounted and income inequality is addressed by taking from some to give to others, no one truly benefits. The recipients of this forced redistribution have not experienced earned success, so will have no basis for lasting success. And those who have had something taken away have not experienced the honesty of true charity. America should honor the power of liberty and achievement by expanding opportunity, not punishing success.
Hi, folks. I'm Frank Manzeri, co-owner of Statewide Remodeling. You know, we've been getting some relief from what is usually the beginning of summer here in Texas. And right behind that, the temperature goes up, and so do your cooling bills. We manufacture our windows to beat the Texas heat. Our fiber core reinforced frames are 9 times stronger than other windows, and our glass has 27% more viewing area. We give you better than triple pane performance at a double pane price. Another thing that separates our window from all competitors is we can match our exterior frame to any color Sherwin-Williams offers. So no plain white windows here, or 3 to 4 colors to choose from. And of course, we offer the longest warranty in the industry. It even covers glass breakage and workmanship for as long as you own your home. So if you're ready to see the window that sets the standard in Texas, give us a call. And if you decide it's the one for you, receive 20% off the complete job. The number to call is 888-270-7095. That's 888-270-7095. or check us out online 24/7 at statewideremodeling.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Kidd, engineering graduate of Texas A&M and owner of Structured Foundation Repairs. Our number is 972-484-1200. Our motto is to do the right thing. In some respects, it's hard being the company that always does the right thing. But for our customers' sake, it's very important that we do. Being fully insured, as an example, costs us a lot of money, but it protects our customers. Having employees instead of day laborers is a huge responsibility, but our dedicated employees ensure that we do the best repairs we can. Managing a large office staff can be tedious, but they provide our customers a helpful voice when they need something urgent. Returning every phone call is time-consuming, but instills our customers with confidence that we will always be there when they need us. The Aggie Code of Honor states that Aggies don't lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those that do. That code was the principle our company was founded on, and it guides our daily operations. If this sounds like the kind of company you could trust to repair your foundation, call us today for a free evaluation at 972-484-1200 or click structuredfoundation.com.
Okay, you're on.
We are here live from Niagara Falls for this year's Spring Festival. Wait, what?
That'll do it.
Great job, Will.
You two, what are you doing?
Sorry, Canada, you had a leak.
Ha ha! Look, it's Will Nell and Fred Thompson from American Leak Detection.
American Leak Detection.
Guys, come over here. Come here. All right. Here with me now are the guys with American Leak Detection. Please explain yourselves.
Well, at American Leak Detection, we have been detecting and repairing hidden leaks in your home for more than 25 years, big or small.
And all without damaging your home. We can even repair leaks in your swimming pools, since that time is getting close. Hey, looks like DFW needs us. Just go to AmericanLeakDetection.com to schedule us to come out. That's AmericanLeakDetection.com.
660 AM, The Answer.
Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello there, and I'm so glad we whipped through this 2 hours. We're practically at the end of Ladies Can We Talk. Again, it just goes by so fast every week, and I do want to say a quick thank you to 660 AM. I just love being on this station. Appreciate everyone helping out in this show every week. And we have in this last segment, we try to do tweets and quotes or just quickies that came up in the news, and everyone has to get theirs out really fast, so because we have a bunch of them. But Laura, you had something. I think you were going to start with one.
Sure. I will go first, and this is a you know, if you have hits and misses, this is a miss. This is from Texas State Representative David Simpson. And many of you may know David Simpson. He's a state rep from out in East Texas. Vast majority of the time, I would absolutely consider David Simpson a conservative. He actually ran as a conservative alternative to Joe Strauss, the House Speaker, the last cycle. So this statement and him being involved with the legalization of marijuana really is very upsetting. And this is his quote. So his quote is, "I don't believe that when God made marijuana, he made a mistake that government needs to fix."
This is just amazing.
Okay, so first I want to tell David he needs to go back to Sunday school. He needs to realize that we don't live in the Garden of Eden. That once we had the fall of man, once sin entered this world, it perverted and basically was a death sentence for all of God's creation. So what we have here on earth is not God's perfection. It is not what his original creation was. So he obviously doesn't have the basic understanding of sin in this world.
All right. I have 25 things I like to say, but I won't. Go ahead.
Okay, this one, I hope that I don't laugh in the middle of it. Okay, this is from John Kerry. Anyway, my heroes are people who dared to take on great challenges without knowing for certain what the outcome would be. Lincoln took risks. Gandhi took risks. Churchill took risks. Dr. King took risks. Mandela took risks. But that doesn't mean that every risk taker is a role model. Secretary of State John Kerry compared himself to Winston Churchill, Abraham Lincoln, and other great historical luminaries for having the courage and tenacity to tackle the most hideous enemy plaguing mankind. Climate change.
You know something? I mean, it's hard. I almost feel sorry for him because he doesn't know how crazy he sounds. And the thing is, the brave thing in the world right now.
Wait, are y'all saying that climate change isn't isn't exist. It doesn't exist.
You know, we've had a show about this. Actually, that's a good reminder. Someone was reminding me all of our shows, our past shows, are available on podcast. If you go back to ladiescanwetalk.org, click on radio shows, you can play any of our past shows. We've had this on. You got to go back and pay attention, Drina.
Okay, I'll do that.
But seriously, you know, with the only brave thing to say in relation to climate change in today's world is those brave scientists in the thousands who are saying, sorry, buddy, climate change, man-made global climate change is just an absurd hoax, a disaster, and we're going to do crazy things in response to it. I mean, for him to claim he's brave, to advocate for climate change, he's not even well.
Yeah. Well, no, he's not even well. But I remember, though, we have 15 more years until we're all cannibals, according to Ted Turner, because the founder of CNN.
That's right.
Because
climate change expert?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And we'll all be cannibals because of climate change. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, on that note, a little tiny bit. We were talking earlier which people we feel sorry for. A little bit I feel sorry for John Kerry because that's so absurd. But anyway, we are going to wind down here. I was debating which quote or tweet to mention. And this is just a little bit of a bizarre story, but I actually, speaking of people I kind of feel sorry for, Lindsay Lohan, the actress, or a former actress who's had tremendous problems. She's had criminal convictions. She's had drug problems and drinking problems. And she's just, you know, she was such an adorable young actress. But continuing her ill-fated life, or continue to lead her life poorly, she was recently photographed walking out of a meeting and carrying a Quran, like the Islamic book, the Quran, and in fact dressed in traditional Islamic garb with the headscarf on. I mean, dressed in that way. And she's apparently expressing interest and curiosity about Islam. She's been heard speaking in Arabic. And so, you know what? She did announce a couple of years ago that she decided that she is a lesbian. So this one writer was saying that maybe someone forgot to tell her that alcohol and lesbianism are both haram, which is forbidden in this alleged religion of peace. And actually, even though I'm saying that as a quote or tweet, I kind of, again, she's so confused. I think fame ruined her life. I don't know what happened to her, but I'm sorry for her. And I really hope she does not decide to embrace Islam, because then she's really going to be in trouble. Well, you know what I want to do, because we have time at the end. I want to urge all of you, first of all, to follow us on Twitter. I'm at Debbie Can We Talk. Lori?
I'm at Texas Tea Party Mom. That's TX Tea Party Mom.
And I'm at Drinda R.
Can you spell Drinda?
Yeah, sure I can.
I can.
It's DRINDAR.
So follow us on Twitter. We really enjoy doing this show every week. And also, go to our Facebook page, Ladies Can We Talk, and like our page and comment. We love the comments. And you can email me. I get actually quite entertaining emails every week now after the show. My email address is ladiescanwetalk@gmail.com. And I wanted to talk to you about two events that are coming up that I'm just, if you are interested in politics, if you're not involved yet in a women's organization, there are two fabulous events coming up. I just want to be sure you know about them. One, this coming Tuesday, which is May 19th, the same woman who is here tonight in our show, Elisa Jordheim, who is the author of Made in the USA, The Sex Trafficking of America's Children, she is speaking at a club, the Park City's Republican Women, and that is, as I say, this coming Tuesday, May 19th. The meeting will be at the Biblical Art Museum, which is right across the street from North Park Mall, conveniently located near a mall, and begins at, I believe, 6:30, and it is that you can go to the website parkcitiesrepublicanwomen.com and look it up. It is a great event. Everyone's welcome. You'll hear her speak about her book on sex trafficking. You can ask questions. Plus, this organization is full of very, very active Republican women who are just working on many, many good causes to support America, to support the America of our founding. And it's a great organization. So I urge you to attend that. And you can email me to ask me questions about it, ladiescanwetalk@gmail.com. And another incredibly wonderful event is also coming up in Dallas on May 27th. And this is an event sponsored by the Preston West Republican Women. And that organization is another great organization of active Republican women. And they have a stellar speaker coming, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. As most of you, all of you probably know, he's a former U.S. congressman. They've moved to Dallas. He's the president of the National Center for Policy Analysis. He'll be speaking at a luncheon hosted by the Preston West Republican Women. Tickets are only $40. You get lunch. You get to hear Alan West. I bet you get to ask questions. You get to hear me because I'm emceeing Yahoo. Mm. And also, those tickets are available. Just go to PrestonWestRepublicanWomen.com. PrestonWestRepublicanWomen.com. Click on Alan West's name, or you can also click on the contact button and connect with Preston West Republican Women and send an email. Please join us for that event, too. It's just a really, really fun event, a great organization. And, you know, I have to say, I do the show each week, and the hardest part of the show is looking through all the stories that are in the news that will shape America's future, that impact your children, your life, your future, your kids' lives, you know, whether it ranges from national policy and defending America abroad to education policy to tax policy to limited government to Second Amendment rights. We talk about it all here in Ladies Can We Talk, and I do it because I love America. I want our America as we know it today to be America safe and free for generations and literally hundreds of years to come. So tune in every week to Ladies Can We Talk on Sunday evenings from 6:60 a.m. The Answer, from 6 to 8 p.m. Love having you. Tune in again next week and follow us all on Twitter, and talk to you again next week. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis. To learn more or to contact us, go to ladiescanwetalk.org. And be sure to join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on 660 a.m. The Answer.
Liberals and the media try to paint the Republicans as the party of no. But the way I see it, Republicans, or at least conservatives, are the party of yes. We say yes to families, to strong families. We say yes to educational choice for Americans of every income level. We say yes to life, to babies, and to moms. We say yes to legal immigration. Yes to responsible healthcare system that honors the doctor-patient relationship. We say yes to fiscal responsibility, to actually balancing the budget and living within our means. We say yes to keeping America strong and safe, to defending our country from enemies abroad, and by securing our borders at home. Every week on my show, I urge Americans to speak up for America and say what conservatives stand for. Because when we say that, the mainstream of America will be right with us. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and ladies, can we talk?
This plan is not insurance and does not meet minimum credible coverage requirements under the Affordable Care Act. This discount card program contains a 30-day cancellation and refund period. Administrator and benefits limited, Dallas, Texas, not available in all states.
Are your medical expenses and insurance costs out of control? There is a way to pay less for the healthcare you need. RealMedSavings.com. It's a membership like a club that lets you access huge networks of medical professionals for a whole lot less money. RealMedSavings even connects you with a board-certified physician anytime, 24 hours a day. The doctor will consult with you, diagnose the condition, and when necessary, call in the prescription. You pay nothing for the doctor's consultation because you're a member. You save money because we've already negotiated discounts.